Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. As today is the Love Sunday of Advent, I also think about safety. We pray for the safety of our travelers, and we worry about the safety of our families. And this is part of what love is, worrying about safety. And frequently it's just about accidents on the road, it's about the travails of life. But as we see in this passage, sometimes the safety is different. Sometimes it is not safety against nature. It is not safety against accident. It is safety against other people. It is wishing to be safe from those who would do us harm. And in the ancient kingdom of Judah, this was, as we see, a very important kind of safety to worry about. The full story of this passage is one of a very, very reasonable fear, both by the king of Judah and also by the kings of Israel and Aram. Because the reason Judah is under siege by these kingdoms is that they had asked Judah to ally with them to fend off the might of the Assyrians. This is, if you want to bring it into a modern analogy, as if Costa Rica and Grenada and Nicaragua got together in order to oppose an American invasion. In that context, you might understand why the king of Judah was not eager to join this alliance, that he thought, well, perhaps you can fight Assyria on your own. I don't really trust you to not get along, to get along this entire time. And if you've opposed Assyria with arms, they're going to destroy you. So I would like to not be a part of that party. Well, and so he didn't join them. And Israel and Aram responded by attacking him. And so he is under siege. Violent siege. Armies are at his door, and he does not know what to do. And in this passage, he's debating, should I sit here and wait, or should I call upon Assyria to help me, to accelerate the invasion that this entire alliance was about? Can I preserve the safety of my kingdom by calling on the guy with the bigger gun to come in and kill my enemies? And this is the route to safety that Ahaz is debating. And we think about it in our own lives. If any of you have ever felt under violent threat, I at least have felt the desire to strike out and be strong enough to overcome it. I have imagined violent threats and imagined my own strength possible to overcome it. I have felt oppressed by people and fantasize in that great metaphor of the day of just punching them in the face to show them that I mean business. And so too does Ahaz wish that. And as it turns out, this prophecy is really all about Isaiah saying, are you crazy? They're attacking Assyria. They've banded together to oppose Assyria. We just need to wait for 3 years until this kid who's about to be born can have his senses about him, have rational thought, and these kingdoms will be deserted. They're opposing Assyria. They're going to get destroyed. You don't need to do anything. And the king of Judah, Ahaz, is not comforted by this and says, well, I'll call them anyway. So sure enough, in 3 years' time, these kingdoms are destroyed. Assyria comes and destroys them after Ahaz asks Assyria for help. And then what do you think happens? Anyone? Any guesses? Do you think Judah is safe forever? No, what happens? Assyria shows up at the door and says, well, we took care of your problem for you, so you will now pay us a large portion of your kingdom's income forever. Is that okay with you? And so Judah gives up its freedom for the temporary safety from its neighbors. And after a little while, people in Judah get sick of sending money to Assyria, and so stop. And so the Assyrian army shows up on the doorstep of Jerusalem and says, okay, that was fun. Now you will give us all of your money. We will take all the gold from the temple. We will take all the gold from your palace. We will take all of the legendary riches of Jerusalem right now, or we will destroy your city. And so it's in the Bible. It's in Kings, if you 2 Kings, if you read it. And so Judah gives up all of its wealth to Assyria, and Assyria goes back on its way. So by calling on Assyria, Judah has done the very opposite of what it intended to do. Rather than guaranteeing its safety, it has discovered that safety is an illusion when you are responding to violence with violence. By calling on Assyria, not only did they make Aram and Israel mad at them, not only did they eventually make Assyria mad at them when they decided to stop paying tribute, but they, by endorsing Assyria's attacks on Israel and Aram, by having Assyria with a bigger stick challenge and defeat and destroy their enemies, also reduced any allies around them, any neighbors around them might have given them peace or aided them in their distress. And eventually what happens is even Assyria gets defeated by the Babylonians. Judah aligns with Egypt, and the Babylonians come and destroy Jerusalem, sending all of the Judeans, at least all the important ones, into exile. Violence begets violence. And so in this kingdom, where they made the choice to be bound by the violence of destroying their enemies, of the illusion that by getting a bigger stick, they would be safe, we saw the destruction of Jerusalem. And what's funny is that in the first century, we had a few prophets and scholars who had read the history and figured out that this is what always happens. Every time you reach out with great force, someone waits around until you're at a weaker point and comes back. Security through violence is an illusion. And so in the first century, we had people going around preaching a different message. They said, well, perhaps the Samaritans, those old people in the north, perhaps the Samaritans are not your enemies. Perhaps they are your neighbors. Perhaps rather than responding to them with the fear that they will do you harm, you can respond to them with love and the hope that they will join with you to create a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom based on love in which we can find true security, not by the destruction of our enemies, but by the conversion of those enemies into our friends. And we know about these prophets and these scholars because their writings are collected in the New Testament of the Bible. We look at Jesus, and he saw the story of Isaiah, and he saw the old prophecies, and he said, in that time, in that place, they thought the Prince of Peace was a conquering king who would destroy the enemies of Judah. But in fact, what happens whenever you have a strong conquering king going through and laying waste to our enemies is that we wind up on the same point of a sword. And so he gave us a different way. And so he gave us a way to respond to fear with a hope of a permanent solution. One that is building the kingdom of God on earth. In this season of Christmas, we remember Jesus' birth, yes, but we know the full story of Jesus. And the story does not end at Jesus' birth. The miracle of Christmas is that Jesus, God come with us, to be with us, lived a human life, died at the end of his human life, and rose again, showing us the way to conquer the fear of death. And so as Christians, when we read the story of Jesus, when we look at the passages in our Old Testament through the lens of Jesus Christ, as we do every week, we can reread this and say, these people were trapped by their fear, were lured by the illusion that violence creates security. And we can do better, because every day in our world we have the same choices to make. We too have before us the alluring security of greater violence. And we read every day about people destroyed by the drone attacks from the United States being angry at the United States and perhaps becoming a new threat. This is not anything special about our country. As we see in the Old Testament, this is the way that we have lived as humans. But Jesus gives us a new choice. He says we do not have to be trapped in a kingdom that is safe because all of our enemies lie in graves. We can create a kingdom in which we all celebrate together the people around us. Our neighbors are with us in our kingdom, the kingdom of God. So as we think about Christmas this season and the rest of the year, remember, this is the way that Jesus imagines the Prince of Peace, the one who brings about the kingdom of God, not by violence, but by love. And one way to show us that this is something that we can do is to look at the ancient religions of Babylon, the ancient religions of Aram, the ancient religions of the ancient Near East, besides that in Judah. Because it's very hard. All these nations had their own religions tied to their city-states and their country. And when their country got destroyed by empires, they went away by and large. But one religion remained. Jerusalem was destroyed. No longer could Judah stand on the strength of its nation. It had to learn a different way to live. And so in the Babylonian exile was the birth of Judaism, which exists to this day because they realized strength was not in violence. Strength was in love. Through the exile, the Babylonian exile, through the diaspora created by the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, we have Judaism that has lasted forever because it was not tied to violence. It was tied to love of one another, love of the stranger in their midst. And as Christians, we had the same experience. And now, every day, we get to choose again. Again and again, do I love or do I fear? In the spirit of Christmas, remembering that our favorite thing about Christmas is love, let us commit to love every day. Amen.